Hey, everybody, it's Wednesday night. If you're watching live, if you're not, it doesn't really matter because it's Ham Nation time and you're here. And that's really the most important part. We're going to tell you all about a really cool ham fest up in the St. Louis area coming up in a week or so called St. Louis Winterfest 2020. You're going to love Rebecca, who's going to tell you about it. She's the boss of this thing. And well, probably she won't say she's the boss, but she's the boss. Also, George is going to talk about a new project he's got going on that you guys have kind of asked him to do. Randy's going to show us more of your projects. Of course, we've got Newsline, Dr. T, Amanda with the chat room. Bob's going to talk about relays and switches and Les Paul guitars and what that all has to do with ham radio and a whole lot more. And it's going to happen right now on Ham Nation. Ham Nation is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 436 for January 15, 2020. St. Louis Winterfest 2020.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Ham Nation, and it's a show all about ham radio and all the crazy things that we do to have fun on ham radio. Glad that you tuned in to Twit tonight. We got some very interesting things going on. First of all, I will let you know that Gordo is not here. I have a note from him. We'll come back in a little bit. But George is here. George, how you doing? You okay?
I'm doing well, Bob. If I can keep my feet dry, it has been raining a lot here, and the rivers are all out of their banks. So we're hoping we don't have any floodings. Last night, in the middle of a torrential downpour, I visited the Central Mississippi Amateur Radio Association here and did the presentation at their monthly club meeting. And that was a lot of fun and good to see all those folks. They have a better club there, a little larger than I was expecting. So that's great that we've got, you know, some good ham radio clubs going on here in the Jackson area. Well, tonight we're going to have a Show Us Your Projects video from Randy a little bit later, and I'm going to tell you about a series of projects that we've got coming up real soon.
Okay, we'll be looking forward to it, so get the old smoke and the old solder cooking. Don, how are you doing? Don Wilbanks, the ace man on the news here. How you doing, buddy? You okay?
Yeah, I'm doing good. We're, of course, celebrating a huge, this side over here, huge LSU win. That's how excited I am. I don't even know what side of the shirt the logo is on. Great LSU win, 15-0 national championship. Joe Burrow, just an amazing athlete. Everybody is. Coach O, we're really, really happy about the LSU Tigers. I'm still a little sad, a little touchy about OU losing, but that's okay. LSU won, and they did it, and it was great. We've got a great ham fest coming up this Saturday in Hammond, Louisiana, just on the other side of Lake Pontchartrain to the north side of New Orleans. If you're going to be down in the New Orleans area, it's highly recommended. It's a really good little small community ham fest, but really a nice one. A lot of really good stuff and great hams there. And that ham fest has been going on for a long time, and it's one of my favorites, especially as far as the local ones go. So if you're down in the South Louisiana, Southeast Louisiana, New Orleans area, and you can make the Hammond Ham Fest, by all means, do that. Just Google it. You'll find everything you need to know. We've got a solo report from Dr. T, and who knows what else coming up tonight. So it's going to be a good night.
Excellent. Excellent. Speaking of Ham Fest, for many years in the St. Louis area, we've had a really good flea market. They always do it at the end of January called Winterfest. And, you know, as I've told you before, if you want to get something done you let a woman do it. And look what happened to my company. And we're going to come back and talk about Winterfest because she's here. Rebecca is here. Rebecca, how are you doing? We're so glad to have you. You doing good?
We're doing good. Still a little damp, but everything is going well.
All right.
Thank you for having me tonight.
Well, we're going to come back and get details on the Winterfest because this is really something. But before we get started, I got a note from Gordo, and he wanted me to read this or let you know what's going on. He was to be here, but hello, team, and all of Ham Nation viewers. Gordo here, along with others. We're coming down the West Coast headed for Quartz Fest and working around incoming severe weather. And I guess they've got a coast-to-coast problem going on. Our plans of to have us out of here to beat the weather and downpours and snow in the Southland Passes. Can you believe that? So I won't be on tonight. And now I realize that you have all had sorts of nasty weather also. So enjoy a break. Have a fun night. And we'll hope to see you on Skype from Quartz Fest next Wednesday. So hopefully we can make that happen. And they're on the air, W7Q from Quartz Fest. So you want to be sure and look for them. But we'll know more about that next week. Sure hope they get their Skype signal going. That would be great. Well, you know, last week I mentioned something about relays. And didn't think much about it. Is what I do here is 30 of them or whatever in all this. But man, you guys and gals came forward saying, tell me more. So that's what I'm going to do. Now, here comes the tough part. I'm going to try to switch this camera around to let you see what we're doing here. We've got a couple of different cameras, and I got a new switcher coming, thanks to George. Maybe have that going next week, and we'll see what happens. But hopefully, we'll be able to make it all come about here. There we go. First of all, as you can realize and recognize, for years we all have used these kind of relay or switchers. I've always liked this. This thing's been with me for at least 50 years. I like it because everything comes out the back straight. It's not a porcupine. It's really nice. And I have several of these that I've used over the years. But then new things happen in ham radio, and along came Ameritron. And now there are several others. And what happens, we have this little gadget here that can control remote relays. And the remote relays, they look like this. It's kind of similar to what we had where you go in with the antenna and it switches from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How does it do that? It can do it with wires. I use cable that we use for rotors, so you need actually 6 wires, 5 wires, and a ground. And as we go, I think you might be able to hear some of them. I will get up and see it, but and that lets you switch remotely. I've only got not even a foot. Down in Pleasant Hope, I had 500 feet. And what you are looking at, these are for the doom and gloomers. That particular relay box you're looking at was in one of the Rubbermaid trunks. You know, you get a Walmart. I buried it in the ground, so the top was out of the ground a little. It stayed there for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, working every day, and it's still working and it's still great, so no problem. So you want to look into these. DX Engineering has them. It's an Ameritron product, and it's called the RCS Remote Control Switch is what I think about, -8V. They also have a 10V. And oh gosh, you can do all kinds of things with these things. What I do here, let me move this for you. I don't like rotary switches. I never have. And the reason I don't is that I think in time you get into trouble with them. And especially if they're doing any voltages or stuff like that. So I replaced the rotary switches with these guys. And it really is slick. This is the antenna switcher, as you just saw. I have five things we can switch here, 160, 75, 40, so on, so on. Down here switches my transceivers. And it's just really cool. It works so well. And one of the things I really like about some of the switches that switch antennas, this is the switch that we normally use. They're actually Les Paul guitar switches. And get it right. There we go. And what you see is a bat-handled switch that can be pushed down and will stay or momentary. And very simple to connect. And that will connect into each one of the relays. And I've really enjoyed using these. It's just been a real, real neat thing. And I don't have to worry about any kind of problem. And a lot of the other things do have. There's how he did it. All you have to do is make a little panel or a box with those switches. And you're switching 12 volts to the relays. It's very simple. But, oh gosh, there's just so much we can learn from some of that. I also have something to talk to you about. A real defugality happened to me this past week. I have, you can imagine how many cables and all the things that are in this place. And I have a number of the little right angle jobs. And I was hooking up, actually, one of my receivers, the Drake 2B. This microphone positioned right. And wow, how come I'm not getting a signal through here? So I took the cables loose, each one of them, everything looked good. This was on the center of the switch that you just saw that was feeding. And I'm going, I took it out and I'm going, wait a minute, that doesn't look right. Why doesn't it look right? That looked too long. So, okay, you got your trusty little meter. I always like to check my meter to make sure that it's going to work for me. And, you know, got it on the right thing. So, shouldn't you be able to put it here and do that? Ain't that right, George? I would have got continuity, shouldn't I?
Yeah, that's right.
What happened? It's not there. No wonder it didn't work. Well, I got to looking, and it's loose. I'm going, what is this? What? And this thing is press-fitted down inside there. It's, I don't know, I've had this for a long time. It's a brand new one. I picked it up at probably a Hammerfest somewhere. I was just beside myself. I called Tim Duffy. I said, hey, Tim, send me a proper right angle. You'll appreciate this, George. I think you can see this. Look at the name on the side of that. It's Amphenol. And if you're going to buy connectors, you buy Amphenol. This thing, you can just look at it and see how much better it's built. And I was just so really ticked off when I did that to myself. You see, that one works just fine. Thank you very much. So the bottom line is we really need to, we really need to pay attention to some of these things. Connectors, they're so important. And I have no idea how many are in here. I think of Tim Duffy's station. There you have hundreds and hundreds. And just one connector, you could blow a pair of 3500 Zs in an amp real easy. So check these things out. They're just simple, and we don't pay a lot of attention. And firsthand, I could have really had a big problem there. But anyway, we made it through, and everything was good. And so now I can go in and do the rest of these things. But that's what's going on here in the old station. We're getting it all worked out and everything plugged in. The other consoles, all the AM stuff, I'm happy about all that. Organ works great. I did a WTW last week. Hope you're all listening Saturday night about 7 or 8 o'clock. They play some stuff, and it comes from right here. So there you go. Don, you check your connections, Don, when you put them in. You didn't do what I did, I hope.
Yeah, I try to not get the dollar a bag connectors at the Hamfest. I try to avoid them if I possibly can. And got to look for the genuine Amphenol. And there are some fake Amphenols out there, too, so you got to watch out for that. But the good thing about going with a trusted source, like you did with Tim Duffy and DX Engineering, is that you're going to be getting the real deal, because that is what DX Engineering does. Like, if you've ever visited DX Engineering's website or leafed through the catalog, you know about the amazing selection of ham radio equipment that they offer. But the real deal with DX Engineering is the staff. As a customer, you get so much more, a higher level of customer support delivered by a team of Elmers. And that's what they are. They're Elmers. They will go above and beyond to ensure absolute customer satisfaction. And DX Engineering makes getting all the stuff you need so fast and so simple. Ordering is child's play. You can call the toll-free number 7 days a week or purchase 24/7 from the easy-to-use website. You can expect fast, affordable shipping. In-stock orders placed before 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. Ship the same day, typically. All products, whether it's a single clamp or a right-angle coax connector like you did, or a multi-piece antenna system, they're expertly packaged in DX Engineering's warehouse and shipped directly to your door. And you enjoy free standard shipping on most orders over $99. You expect a higher level of support during and after the purchase as well. You receive direct assistance from active hams. These are the Elmers, the people who speak your language, and they can answer your questions and help you make the right purchase decision. In fact, DX Engineering's customer and technical support team has more than 300 combined years of amateur radio expertise. I've met these guys and gals, and they are amazing. So smart, so knowledgeable. They're experts in ham radio. Whether you're interested in digital modes, contesting, DXing, or MCOM, DX Engineering covers you. If you're not sure how to set up your digital handy talker, get started using FT8, you got a question about your new SDR rig, or how to tune the vertical you just purchased, DX Engineering is there, and they'll help you. Just email them or call them for prompt technical assistance. And trusted brands like ICOM, Kenwood, Yaesu, DX Engineering designs and manufactures and sells their own private brand of ham radio products. So for years, their engineers have been developing products that make operating easier, more enjoyable, and a lot more competitive for their customers. Choose from hundreds of DX Engineering engineered products, loop and vertical antennas, tower and accessories, toolkits, coaxial cables, active receive antenna packages, and a whole lot more. Products include DX Engineering's patented next-generation crimp solder, PL259 connectors, the NCC2 receive antenna phasing system, advanced design thrust bearings, patented radio plates, way more items than we have time to tell you tonight. And all DX Engineering brand products come with the most detailed, easy-to-understand manuals in the business, all crafted by their own technical writer. So, DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern are shipped the same day. With proven products and expert advice, DX Engineering is helping you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. We sure appreciate DX Engineering. We also appreciate our friends over at WTWW. That's where you hear the simulcast audio for Ham Nation every Wednesday night, and a whole lot more ham radio related programming as well. And Ted Randall will be spinning the oldies for you tonight after after Ham Nation. So check that out. And their email is email@WTWW if you have something you'd like to share with them. Great guys over there. They really are. And another member of the Ham Nation team that we're real proud of, besides all of us at Amateur Radio Newsline are really pleased to be here, is Dr. Tamitha Scove, our solar weather expert. And we'll have the latest in the solar weather from her right after this from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2202, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, January 15th, 2020. We begin this week with the latest earthquake to strike Puerto Rico.
As Newsline went to production, the American Red Cross had deployed disaster workers to the areas hardest hit by the 6.4 magnitude quake that struck Puerto Rico early Tuesday, January 7th. Power was slowly being restored island-wide after a blackout was undertaken for safety reasons. Government-run shelters were housing hundreds of victims and received support from the Red Cross. The Red Cross was also seeking amateur radio operators to step up and volunteer. Angel Santana, WP3GW, the ARRL's public information officer in Puerto Rico, said the Puerto Rico Emergency Management Agency's EOC had been activated. Newsline will continue to follow this developing story. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Christian Kudnick, K0STH.
Hams have also been active since floods struck the Indonesian capital on New Year's Day.
In Indonesia, amateur radio operators in the flood-besieged area of Greater Jakarta have been providing support in a variety of ways to afflicted residents, including some of their own members of ARARI, the Indonesian Organization of Amateur Radio Operators. According to accounts from Dani, YB2TJV Disaster Communications Coordinator for IAAU Region 3, and Hassan, YC0OST, ARARI South Jakarta, was among the regional centres to receive a radiogram from the Central ARARI office seeking disaster management communication support. Hams were asked to assist in the evacuation of local residents to emergency shelters. The flooding had begun on the first of the year, with power outages and mudslides in the capital region hampering the search for missing persons. In addition to emergency communications detail, Hams also assisted with fundraising on the third and the fourth of the month to help victims, some of whom were their own fellow Hams. Hams helped distribute the cash contributions along with household necessities. Officials were calling the floods the area's worst since 2007. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
If you love ham radio, there's nothing like social media to help you share the journey. Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, spoke with 1YL, who's devoted a YouTube channel to her adventures.
Hello, my radio friends. With those four words, a YL named Raisa, call sign UB1AOA, cheerfully begins yet another conversation with the world. Raisa is from St. Petersburg, Russia, but calls QRZ most often as OH73ELK from a ham radio cottage on a Finnish island. Off the air, Raisa continues her dialogue with the world on a YouTube channel she created shortly after getting her radio license in December of 2018. She calls her videos My Way to Ham Radio. In more than a dozen short episodes, she celebrates her new license, hikes to a soda summit, tries out radio orienteering, and cheers out loud after making QSO number 1000 as part of the OH73ELK contest team. Raisa tells Newsline in an email, quote, I want to inspire new people and then meet them on the air. For Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Christian Kudnick, K0STH, Robert Broomhead, VK3DN, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update from Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
We have more sunspots appearing in Earth view from the new solar cycle, and a coronal hole rotates into the Earth strike zone, and it's going to bring us some more fast wind. What do these things mean for you? Those stories and more in the news this week. This space weather forecast is sponsored in part by Millersville University. Come get certified in broadcast space weather. Visit millersville.edu/swen. Our sun continues to show signs of life this week. As we switch to our front side sun, you can see multiple bright regions. Now, one of these is actually a sunspot from the new solar cycle. This was region 2755. And no sooner that we got this sunspot than yet another emerged on the Earth-facing disk. On January 8th, this is region 2756, and it's a new cycle sunspot. And it began to make us think, well, maybe these new cycle sunspots are the norm. Now, since then, that region has rotated to the sun's backside and solar flux is beginning to drop a little bit, but we're still well into the marginal range for radio propagation. Now, on top of that, we also have a small coronal hole that's going to be rotating into the Earth strike zone here over the next couple days, and it could give us some aurora down to about high latitudes. Remember, these storms are pretty weak right now because we're still pretty much in solar minimum. As we switch to our far side sun, you can see that equatorial bright region, that's an old cycle bright region. It's not even a sunspot, and that has already rotated into Earth view. But beyond that, you really don't see all that much going on in stereo's view because the sun, stereo's looking at the sun from the side. So it looks like after this fast wind hits us and we have this small solar storm, we're going to get a reprieve easily over the next week. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating the fast wind from that coronal hole that's going to be rotating in through the Earth strike zone. At high latitudes, NOAA is expecting unsettled to active conditions with up to about a 30% chance of a major storm. So this does mean your aurora photographers at high latitudes, you do have a decent chance to catch aurora over the next few days and through the midweek until things begin to settle down as we approach the weekend. Now, at mid-latitudes, NOAA is expecting unsettled conditions with up to about a 20% chance of active conditions, but likely this is going to be very fleeting. So your aurora photographers at mid-latitudes, only if you are very diligent and you pay real close attention do you even have a chance of catching the sporadic aurora that we expect. Most likely you're not going to see much, if anything at all. Switching to our solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, although we do have a few bright regions on the Earth-facing disk, the only sunspot we had was region 2756, and it is now rotated to the sun's far side. So we do have a spotless sun once again, and this is good news for you GPS users. You have no risk for radio blackouts right now. In fact, everything is in the green for big solar flares, and it will continue like that on Earth's day side. Unfortunately, this also means that the solar flux is beginning to tank. You can see we're going from the mid-70s down into the low 70s for solar flux. This means radio propagation is getting a little bit worse. It doesn't look like we're going to drop below the marginal range for radio propagation. We're probably going to stay in the low 70s and not go into the 60s. Unfortunately, when we look at the stereo's view, which is looking at the sun from the side, it does look like we aren't getting any more sunspots that are going to be rotating into Earth view anytime soon. So these conditions are going to continue. Now, also because we are still at solar minimum, the cosmic ray flux is a bit more intense than it normally would be. So you frequent flyers, and this does include you air crew who fly over 800 hours annually and fly at high altitudes and high latitudes, you are in the marginal range for radiation dose, and this does include prenatal passengers. So please take this into consideration in your flight plans. So the sun keeps us on pins and needles this week. We have yet another new cycle sunspot that has emerged in Earth view. And even though that region is now rotated to the sun's backside, we still have solar flux that is boosted into the marginal range for radio propagation. And this should make amateur radio operators and emergency responders very happy. Now, on top of that, we have a small coronal hole that's rotating into the Earth strike zone, and it could be bringing us some fast solar wind that could give us aurora down to high latitudes. So your aurora photographers, especially at high latitudes, keep your batteries charged because you should get a decent show. Now, aurora photographers at mid-latitudes, well, it's going to be a fleeting show and you might have to sit this one out. And the other people who might not be super happy about this are satellite operators. You guys, if you have satellites at the geo orbits in and around there, you could be dealing with some surface charging issues easily over the next week, possibly even internal charging issues, but definitely the surface charging is something you're going to have to watch out for, at least over the next few days and maybe a little bit longer. Now, the only people who are really happy this week are GPS users because these weak solar storms that hit us, they actually stabilize that upper atmosphere, and that should make GPS reception, even on Earth's night side and at low latitudes, really trustworthy. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Thank you, Dr. T. Of course, check her out on Twitter, at Tamitha Scove, and at spaceweatherwoman.com. She's a really, really good follow on Twitter. I say this every week because it's true. You really should be following her on Twitter if you're not. She's just the best. Got a great video from Randy coming up about your projects. George is going to tell us about a project he's starting up, and that's all coming up next right after this from ICOM.
New year, new savings. Bring in the new year loud and clear with some of ICOM's most innovative products. Check out the ICOM America website for current promotions on ICOM 7610, 7300, and 9700. Start the year off right with the high-performance IC7610, a direct sampling transceiver that will change the world's definition of SDR. It has the ability to pick out the faintest signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. RF Direct Sampling System, 110 RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. With the IC7300, ICOM is changing the way entry-level HF is designed. High-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design that will far exceed your expectations. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. The IC9700 was built with the VHF-UHF weak signal operator in mind. Faster processors, higher input gain, higher display resolution, and a cleaner signal. ICOM's IC9700 is the pinnacle of perfection. 4.3-inch color touchscreen, dual watch operation, and full duplex operation in satellite mode, real-time high-speed spectrum scope and waterfall display, voice recording playback functions with SD memory card, supports CW, AM, FM, single sideband, RIDI, and D-Star DV and DD modes. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information and current promotions on ICOM 7610, 7300, and 9700.
And ICOM invites you to enter in their drawings each week for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode and register to win. You'll also be registered for the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for January, that new radio is the ID5100A Deluxe Dual Band Dual Watch Mobile with Touchscreen. It's got FM or D-Star dual watch receivers, built-in GPS, large 5.5-inch touchscreen display, DV and FM repeater list function, SD card slot for voice and data storage, and there's an available Bluetooth module and Android app, plus a lot more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. This week, we've got another in series of videos from Randy that our viewers here at Ham Nation have sent in their projects, and he has put a bunch of them together right here to see what everybody's building. So without delay, here's Show Us Your Projects.
Hi, Randy, K7AGE, with another video of Ham Nation Viewer Projects. Let's get going. Eric AC9BX built himself a breakout box to use with his Flex 1500. So this plugs into the back of the radio using a DB9 connector. And then Eric had a little die-cast box that he mounted some RCA jacks in there. So he has audio in, audio out, push-to-talk in, and push-to-talk out, and a trim pot for audio level. He even has a couple spare wires if he ever wants to implement an I2C connection to the radio. So, nice little breakout box. Bill G4GHB has been working on and gotten it to work, this 75-year-old British wireless set number 19 Mark III. He's got it working again. He had to rewire a couple coils, replace a switch, reconnect up the BFO. and replaced three leaky capacitors. He's added an extra inductor and a capacitor to give the receiver more sensitivity, and he's added a crystal socket down on the bottom right for the transmitter. He's actually gotten it to work on 5.262 megahertz, running about 3 to 4 watts, and he's had a QSO to another station 80 miles away. As he says, as it's Teddy, I don't mind modifying it. It'll never be a museum showpiece, but it is a working radio. And then he asks, will the modern stuff be repairable after 75 years? Well done, Bill. Jason KC1GNO has built himself a field portable 40-meter QRP transceiver. The project was inspired by finding a wood box that was on a clearance sale, and he thought that would make a fine-looking radio. So it's built around the Tunican receiver and transmitter kits, and he's added some other things, an audio amplifier and a keyer to it, and he's scrounged up some switches and knobs to go on the front control panel. He picked up a Brunel key, and he cleaned that up. He's gotten it all to work, and it puts out about a half a watt, he says, but it pulls in lots of signals. So that's a real nice-looking QRP transceiver there, Jason. Thank you. Tom, N5KGN, is passing along this old power supply project. This was built by a guy, friend of his, back in the Navy while he was on an aircraft carrier, and gave it to him a long time ago, and Tom has pulled it out and started to restore it because he kind of working on some old tube projects. And he's gone through this and replaced the line cord and the power switch and the fuse holder and all sorts of other things and cleaned up the chassis. And luckily, the critters didn't chew up too much of the wiring. But what I think is really interesting on this is that the Navy chief, when he built this on the aircraft carrier, they had been doing some practicing with their 3- and 5-inch guns. So what he did was gather up a couple of the 3- and 5-inch shells and had the guys in the shop flatten them out and take the ends off and bend them up and punched them and made them into the chassis that you see here. So, and Tom has gone through with some polish and stuff and kind of cleaned it up. So here's a power supply built from some old shells. Kind of neat. Thanks for passing that along, Tom. Rich K9WWW has passed along this hex beam project that he's been working on. He moved into a new house this past summer and was wondering how he was going to deal with his antenna. So he has a SP7IDX hex beam, and he decided on building a roof tower. So he built this roof tower from some plans from Roger, W8IO. So it's going to hold the hex beam and a Diamond X50 antenna on the top. When he got it all assembled on the ground, he checked out the SWR, and it looked really good. So he was ready to put it up on the roof. So he attached the roof tower with some bolts in going through some 2x4 backing in the attic, and had the whole assembly tilted over. And then his son and wife helped push, and he pulled. And he said it wasn't too much of a pucker moment when that whole assembly tilted up on the roof there. So, and then he's been busy working on getting the cables through the roof and down into the basement shack. So good project, Rich. Nice antenna. And if you have a project you'd like to share with the Ham Nation viewers, please send some photos and a description to me at hamprojects@twit.tv, and we'll get you on Ham Nation. 73, this is Randy, K7AGE.
And 73, Randy, that is some good-looking projects this time around. You know, people are doing stuff out there all the time, so send us your photos to hamprojects@twit.tv, and you could be included in a future episode there. Well, I've got a project that this is something I've been working with for several years now, and I really like them a lot. As a matter of fact, it's what I spoke on last night at the Central Mississippi Amateur Radio Association's club meeting. And I asked here last week on Ham Nation, would anybody be interested in learning more about the Arduino microcontrollers and how to get started with it. Now, I got a number of answers on that, and every response I got was positive. People are interested in it. So we're going to start doing a series on that. It'll be a few episodes, and it won't go all the way to masterclass, but we'll get you started on how to do it, show you what you need, and kind of get you rolling on it. Once you get to rolling, it's really pretty easy, especially for anyone who's ever done any C programming or any basic programming. I know a lot of you have done that in the past. Or HTML, or if you've ever worked with logic gates, you know, it's all basically the same type of thing. So we're going to show you how to do it here coming up in some future Smoke and Solder segments. This is what you want to get right now, though. If you're going to follow along at home and learn to do some Arduino programming, we're going to be using the Arduino Uno. They're on sale right now for $18.70 from the original manufacturer. Now, these are open source, so there are several other versions available of the Uno. You can get them as low as $11. I saw today on Amazon, but I like to get the original ones because then you know you got something that's going to work, and no doubts about that. You can see there's only really one major chip there on it. That is really the Arduino. That's the heart of the thing. Everything else is just there to support that one chip. But it'll do an amazing number of things for a single chip. So if you want to follow along at home, your lesson for tonight is obtain you an Arduino Uno. You can find them at arduino.cc or just search on the internet. You'll find lots of sources for it. Bob, you were talking earlier about your guitar switches there. I buy these whenever I find them at a ham fest. Now, this is a little big to put in a Les Paul because it would stick out the back a couple of inches at least. But this is a Mossman brand. It's the same type of switch right here, and you can see this one is spring-loaded. You pull it down, and it's momentary. It releases when you take your finger off. Or you can latch it up. These are really great switches, especially for tiny low-level signals. I've got one in a weighted box that I use for my push-to-talk on my HF rig up there. Normally, I just push it down and release it when I'm through talking. If I'm really long-winded, I'll latch it up. This is AM mode right here, Bob. What do you think?
Right on. AM, you got it. Make those long-winded transmissions.
Yeah. And the things that are good about these, so good, and I'm sure you'll agree, is these contacts here on these levers. Whenever you flip it, those contacts kind of wipe. So if you've got a tiny low-level signal, those contacts are being burnished every time you actuate that switch.
Yep. Those are great. Those are things you find at flea markets. You can't go to a flea market and not find stuff like this, but you have to dig for it, right, George?
That's correct. But, you know, these are, I don't know, it's like there's a flashing light on them. Whenever I run past one of these or an audio transformer, it jumps out at me and I have to have it.
You got it.
Yeah. So what's going on tonight, Bob? I think you've got a special guest here.
We do. I'm very excited about what's going to happen in the St. Louis area. Actually, it's Collinsville, Illinois, which is just across the river when you walk out in front of the Collinsville Convention Center, Gateway Center. You see the arch. You're only, I think it's about 8 miles, but it's been a flea market for a long time, type ham fest one day. And it got taken to new heights here in the last couple of years. And I want you to meet Rebecca, KC9CIJ. Rebecca, nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
And we really are very excited about what you've put together for Winterfest this year, because it's far from just a ham fest, as we've seen. And
tell us a little bit about what's going to happen with all the events you have going. And that's 2 days, right?
Yes, we have decided to take Winterfest and make it the Midwest Conference for the ARRL. And in doing so, we have instituted a banquet on Friday night. We have partnered with the West Shim Symposium for Friday during the day. We've extended our shopping hours till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We have a contest college that you can get tickets for. We're going to be doing a kit building class. We have a bunch of commercial vendors coming, Tower Electronics, Flex Radio, Associated Radio, DNL antennas, amateur accessories, just a whole list of them you can find on our website. We have 3 forum rooms that are going to be going all day long. Bob Heil is going to be speaking at one of them. We have Bob Allison, Mel Witten, just a bunch of different awesome speakers.
Bob Allison is the manager, one of the managers of the lab at ARRL. And I really wanted him to do this, and I started working on him, but the league didn't have him on the charts to go out and do these things, so we pulled a different one. He's going to come in on Friday and help us with the symposium, and tell us a little bit about the symposium. This is really something on Friday.
Well, I had a phone call from a certain Bob Heil back in the fall, and he and Nick Tusa are bringing their radio symposium to Winterfest on Friday. So starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, they're going to have conferences all day long based on what their symposium normally does. They have quite a list of people coming. Nick Tusa is going to be speaking, David Asaf, Bob Allison, Lynn Fisk, So Robert Nichols, Rob Sherwood, David Beckler, and of course, Bob Heil is going to be there too. So it's going to be quite exciting. We're very, very excited that they're coming.
This started many years ago when Wes Shum was still living. And who is Wes Shum? If you didn't know, Wes Shum was the fellow that in 1948 or so brought single sideband to ham radio. He was the guy that figured it out and started building little kits and taking them around to HamFest up in the Chicago area. And he got people to building single sideband transmitters, and that started his company, Central Electronics. And as a young 15-year-old kid, I was fascinated by that in 1955, 56. And I built a 10B first, and I built the 20A that, you know, it's over there. I can't quite see it. But Wes, he was a giant in making things happen. And Nick Tusa, as a young man, worked for him. He was a good friend. Well, over the past 5 years, maybe six, we've had these symposiums that bring all these great people to do papers and presentations on how to rebuild radios, how some of it works, and what you can do to make things better, so on and so on. But then it got a little crazy. People wanted to come and present. And Rebecca, you're going to have Rob Sherwood. This is a powerhouse guy, and he's going to be at the symposium on Friday. And I congratulate you, because this is a big move for anybody to have Rob at their convention.
Yeah, we're very excited to have him coming. Our club president, Kyle, talks about him, his website, and the way he ranks his radios quite highly. One other thing I want to touch on for Winterfest is we've instituted something called Education Alley. And so it is an area of the floor space that we're setting aside to talk about different things you can do with the hobby geared toward new hams and young people. So we have AMSATs coming. We have one of our special junior high school teachers that had a satellite an heiress contact. So he's going to be coming and talking about that. We have Kai CAD. We have a high school that's doing weather balloons. They're going to come and speak. We've got youth forum in one of our conference rooms. And we're also starting something called Lightning Talks, where all of these people, young people, can come and give just a 15-minute little forum in one area of this floor space. So we're quite excited to be focusing on young people this year.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm proud to be a part of this, and I know that you and your hubby there have really worked hard to make this happen, and I want to tell you that this is going to be something that really starts a movement here in the St. Louis area. So thank you so much for doing all of this, and we'll let people know how it all works out. Maybe have you back afterwards, see what you're going to do next year. I don't know how you're going to top it, but you will, guaranteed.
We'll figure it out, but it's taken a village to this point. We have a whole committee. It's just not Bill and I, so it's taken everybody to get behind this.
All right. Well, thanks for being here tonight. Hang around a little because the chat room might have some words for you. One thing that we might want to talk about is that there are quite a few forums on both days when you think about the symposium, but a lot of those will be not repeated, but the guys will have other material for the regular Saturday forum. So you want to make both days. There's lots of hotels around the area, and I'm sure you have some special deals with some of the hotels, don't you?
Yes, there on our website, we have a couple of hotels that have, if you register, tell them you're with Winterfest, and they do have discounts associated with them. All of this information is on the club website, which is winterfest.slsrc.org.
Yes, that's great. You know,
so it'll
you know,
be, it's an exciting one, thing.
One other thing that you might not have thought about, there's a White Castle in walking distance, right?
There is a White Castle, there's barbecue, there's a steak place, there's Arby's, there's all kinds of food and lodging. We have a Walmart within a driving distance. It's great.
There's going to be a lot of people come just to go to White Castle. I couple of them. So there you go, man. We're going to have dining, you name it, Betty, but just be sure that you go visit the White Castle, and it's right there in the driveway practically. Amanda, you coming to St. Louis with us and get some White Castle before you see all this good stuff?
Oh, man. White Castle in itself, I'm sold. I'm
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Well, we've shown people here on Ham Nation over the past many, many years how the ladies can take a hold of things and make it happen. And I got to tell you, here's a powerhouse lady, and we're very proud of her. You have any questions that popped up in the chat room, Amanda?
Not so far, but I have a couple of my own questions for Rebecca, since you're still here. Yes. She is still here, right? You didn't hang up on her. Okay. Hi, okay. Rebecca. Nice to meet you. Anyhow, nice what got you into ham radio?
It actually started with a bike ride that my husband did for MS in 2000. I agreed to be a SAG driver for this event, and we were given a ham radio operator to ride along with us for communication. He then went back and told everyone that I would be great at it. Long story short, they asked me to get a radio license to help out with this event, and it just kind of blew up from there.
Very good. And was your husband already licensed, or were you the first one?
No, we actually studied for two solid weeks and got our license the week before the event I needed it on. So it was really, really rather quick. And we just flew by the seat of our pants after that.
That's fantastic. And again, as Bob had said, sometimes you just got to put a woman in charge and get things done. So we really appreciate you pulling this ham fest together. And it looks like it's going to be a great time. And as he said, we really look forward to the report afterwards. So tell me, what else do you do in ham radio?
Most of my experience with ham radio is done in volunteer communications. I plan bike rides for charity events here in the St. Louis area. So we've been involved with the MS bike ride for 20 years now. We've done the Lupus Wolf Ride. We've done Ronald McDonald House. We've done Tour de Cure. So at one point, we had 5 different bike rides going within a year.
That's great. And that's kind of one of my expertises as well, as I'm the emergency coordinator here. So I coordinate those bike rides. And it's not an easy task, right, sister? It's not. You get you get last minute volunteers to help you out. You get people that drop out. I can't say enough for the people that volunteer to coordinate comms for events, because only us that do it know how difficult it is. So again, thank you so much, Rebecca. You're doing an awesome job there.
No, thank you for being involved in it. With us dealing with 30 moving vehicles and 100 volunteers for the weekend is just, I understand how crazy it can get for anybody.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, we had some questions for you as well this evening. By the way, thanks for showing us more on your switches there. We had a question from Rick in 6NR. He says, wrong person. Lou in 9LTW wants to know, if the remote antenna switch relay contacts ever need cleaning, and if so, what do you clean them with?
Well, I told you, I showed you that one. That was in the weather. It was in this, one of the plastic tubs of Rubbermaid, buried in the ground, just the top was above it. It was there for years. I think a total of 6 or 7 years, and it works fine. I've never cleaned any of them. But if you're going to clean it, there's a number of easy things to do. You can use contact cleaner, but when I do it, I just usually use a little emery board with real fine emery, real fine stuff, and run it through there. You can even use some coarse paper, stuff like that. That all comes from my pipe organ days, where we had thousands of relays in the Fox organ and some of the big organs, and we have to clean those all the time. And that's how we do those, just from coarse paper, rubbing it. But I haven't had any problems with any, and I've got a lot of them, of the Ameritron switches. They've been great. So, but you certainly can, and you could spray them occasionally, but never had any problem.
Very good. Now, a question we had from last week was, how are you powering your switch box?
How do I power it?
Yep.
Very
just an
simple.
Easy wall wart, huh?
Just a little old 1-amp wall wart, yeah. No problem. It's worked great. And what was interesting, I figured after when I run it down 500 feet out in the meadow, through the I used rotor cable because I needed 5 conductors with the ground, and that worked great because I usually have 8. And I figured we're going to have some voltage drop. Nope, there was a voltage drop, but not enough to worry about. Never ever did I have a misfire. So that's all, and that comes with the Ameritron when you get it. That's part of it.
Nice. Now, Rick in 6NR wanted to see you talk about an AM gathering coming up on February 1st.
We have quite a deal coming. It's the classic AM gathering on 75, 40, all of them. And one of the things we're going to do is next week, Bob Allison's going to be here on Ham Nation with us to talk about 2 things. We're going to talk about the Winterfest, but we're also going to talk about the classic AM gathering. We'll also have another one the week after. So we'll do a lot of things about the AM rally. And for those of you that don't know about it, you want to get ready, and we'll give you all the details. But it's going to happen on the 31st and 1st. It's just the most fun thing. And I know you're going to say, well, I never worked AM before. Every radio there is today sounds great on AM. Now, back when, 20, 25 years ago, some of the sideband rigs, they didn't sound very good on AM. Today, oh my goodness, the little 7300 sounds like a 2,000-pound broadcast transmitter, and I really mean that. And we're very happy that all of these transmitters today sound great on AM. And you want to do that. You got to remember there is an AM window, 3870 to 3890 on 75, 7290 to 7295 on 40. That's where most of it all happens. But we'll get you all the details in the next 2 weeks about the AM rally. But get your stuff ready. And, hey, when we sign off tonight, go get them. Just push the AM button and find somebody in the windows. Don't go very. That we stay out of the sideband portions, and we respect them. We hope they respect AM. But yeah, it's going to be fun, and you and Jeff should get in on this too, because it's a fun rally. Really fun things to do, Amanda.
Absolutely, and I think, as most of us, we're probably intimidated about what our radio settings should be. And I look forward to talking more about that next week and making sure all of our rigs are set properly and able to transmit. So I'm looking forward to that, Bob. Thank you. I do have one audio clip I wanted. Does everyone remember Angel WP3R? He oversees Arecibo. And Valerie had a wonderful interview and tour with him, and then also joined up with him during the after the hurricane. And this weekend, I managed to listen to him talking a little bit, and he was telling a lot of people that were kind of gathered around on this frequency on 20 meters and listening to what he had to say about what was going on. So I'm going to play a little clip of what I recorded off the 7610 here for everyone, if this works. If it doesn't work, my apologies. So let's see if this plays. Stand by one.
11, at 11:31, we had another 4.2. And let's see, that was yesterday. No, that was today. I'm sorry, today. And around midnight, we also had another 3.8. So it's been a very active day, especially the one at 8:54. That was another 6.0. That was another 6. It's a whole lot of shaking going on there. Jerry D. Lewis would say, thank you, Jim. I saw the text. And so it's still...
All right. Well, I don't want to play everything, but the conversation went on for quite a while, and he was talking about all of these different aftershocks they were having. And he also talked about how they still didn't have power and they still didn't have running water. So even though some of the areas were doing all right, not all of them were. And that was on Saturday. So, and that was quite a few days after the earthquake. So, Angel, I hope everybody's doing better out there in Puerto Rico, and hopefully you're getting the help that you need. With that, let's go over some announcements. We have some HamFest coming up this weekend. We have the Winter HamFest in Loveland, Colorado. That's going to be the 18th. And then we have the Wheaton Community Radio Amateurs Midwinter HamFest on January 19th in Kane County Fairgrounds in St. Charles, Illinois. Also, don't forget, everybody, the North American QSO Party is this weekend. It's a 12-hour event. A lot of fun. 100 watts or less. Try to make as many contacts as you can, and it's a blast. Also with that, I hope Jerry and Val are still having a wonderful time out there on their cruise, which it looks like because I've been seeing some Facebook updates. So let's go over the nets. We have the D-Star net on 14 Charlie, DMR on 31012, and 75 meters on 3905, I believe. Look up and down from that. With that, Bob, I'll send it back to you.
All right. Thank you. And we'll look forward to having all the reports next week on some of the really great HamFests that happened this weekend, this coming weekend. Super duper. Well, thanks, everybody, for being here. And we'll see you again next week. Listen to WTWW. There's lots going on over there. Saturday night, you'll hear the organ concert from right here and in this here studio, and a lot of great stuff that they do there about ham radio, and it gets covered all across the globe. In fact, I do believe that Valerie has been listening to Ham Nation. They're out there floating around on the ocean, so it's a wonderful thing. Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate Rebecca being here, George, Randy, and, of course, Don always has good stuff. He and Tamitha. So we'll be back here next week. Gordo will be live, we hope, from Quartz Fest, and we'll have more things happening next week right here on Ham Nation. Thanks for being here. Bye-bye for now. This is K9EID.